Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you a rather extended text from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The theme of the passage is the way man is justified before God. It tells of the way man is made right with God. It does not say all that the Bible teaches regarding this way, but we shall investigate other scriptures alongside this one. The importance of such a study, the way of justification, it is realized when we consider that all people face death. All people face the resurrection. All people face the judgment and eternity. And our eternity will be in one of two places, either heaven or in hell. The way of justification is the way to heaven. There is nothing that we need to know that is so important as the way of being justified before God. We need a clear understanding of the term justification. We can get this understanding by considering the ways it's often used even in our language. Consider a man accused of a crime. He is tried, he's found innocent, he's set free, he's acquitted. He deserved his freedom. He earned it. He was not guilty. His works were not evil. We say his release was justified. Another man is accused and tried and found guilty, but is set free on the basis that he was justified in his action. Possibly he acted in self-defense or other conditions warranted what he did. According to the law, he deserved to go free, even though he actually had done that of which he was accused. But Paul's use of the term is different from the first two we just noted. Here is a man is tried, found guilty as charged, and there was no reason or excuse for his deliberate transgression and rebellion. If he is set free, it will be because he is forgiven and pardoned. Paul's use of justification is treating the guilty as if he were innocent. And this is what God does when he justifies sinful man. Man is guilty of sin and without reason or excuse, but God allows him to be delivered from its wages. Now, redemption means to buy back. Something is sold, but is bought back or ransomed. Man sells himself to Satan by sinning. Justice demands that sin be punished, accounted for, the price paid. But Christ has paid the price by his blood in man's stead, and man is redeemed. Now, this is what it means to be justified before God. Paul began with reference to the Mosaic Law. People are accountable to whatever law is over them, and Israel was accountable to God under the law that God gave them at Mount Sinai through Moses. And that law had several purposes. Paul says it gave knowledge of sin in verse 20. Sin is a transgression of the law, 1 John 3 and verse 4, and the existence of the law proves that all do sin. None can answer in their own defense, and all mouths are to be stopped. That law was a temporary measure, however, to bring us unto Christ, Galatians 3, verse 24. Christ fulfilled the purposes of the law and the prophets. Christ said in Matthew 5 and verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The law has indeed been taken out of the way, having accomplished its purposes, being nailed to the cross of Christ, Colossians 2 and verse 14. The way of justification, friend, is not by the law of Moses. It was never God's intention for that law to be the way of justification. It could never justify, Romans 3 and verse 20, Galatians 2 and verse 16. Even the prophets bore witness that the law was not the way of justification, Romans 3 and verse 21. In Galatians 4, Paul cites events recorded in the Old Testament and the Mosaic Law to show the relationship that exists between the law of Moses and the new covenant of Christ. The old law is like Ishmael, and the new law like Isaac, the promised child. As Ishmael was cast out, so was the law of Moses. It is the will of Jesus Christ to which men look for the way of justification. It is by faith of Jesus Christ. His system, Romans 3 and verse 22. None are justified by the works of the old law, Galatians 2:16. The reason the old law does not save is because the way of salvation is the way of faith, Galatians 3 and verse 11. The law of Moses was a law of works and merit. One would have to live perfectly under the old law to be justified because that law made no provision for forgiveness without Jesus Christ. And Paul uses four characteristics of the way of justification. It is universal in nature. Salvation is open to all, Jew and Gentile. Paul said, "For there is no difference." All are in need of salvation because all have sinned. Ancestry, color of skin, other differences among men, they are of no consequence when it comes to the way of salvation. All can be saved, but all must be saved the same way. And the way of justification is conditional. If it was unconditional, then all would be saved regardless of their attitude toward God and His Son. There would be no cause for being righteous before God or serving the Lord. What kind of God would God be if He treated goodness and evil the same way? Justification is conditioned upon faith in Christ according to His faith or His religion. It is not by faith only, and the Bible never teaches such, but it is by faith. From other portions of the Bible, we learn that saving faith is the faith that obeys. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But the point necessary to be learned just here is that salvation, justification, is conditional. Man has his part, and it must be met. And even then, he is not earning deliverance. He is simply doing what God says he must do to receive God's gift of salvation. But again, salvation is by grace, Romans 3:24. And grace is an unmerited favor. Salvation is not by grace alone any more than by faith alone. But without God's gracious actions toward man, there would not be any salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And even though there are conditions to be met, salvation is given to man, and man cannot boast of his own righteousness. He is dependent upon God for his justification. And justification is made possible by the blood of Christ. God made him to be the propitiation, having reference to the satisfactory sacrifice that appeases God's wrath against sin. A propitiation is something given in order to render something favorable that has otherwise been unfavorable. It is a matter of reconciliation between God and man. Christ is the atoning sacrifice. John identified Jesus as the propitiation in 1 John 2 and verse 2 and also in chapter 4 verse 10. Jesus was the all-sufficient sacrifice, and he was sacrificed once. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, Hebrews 10 and verse 10. The all-sufficiency and the extensiveness of the blood of Christ is shown in verse 25, where it is implied that the blood of Christ is actually the forgiving power of sins committed both before and after the cross. Hebrews 9 and verse 15. The blood of Christ flowed backward and forward to those who had met the conditions of the law under which they lived. Friend, Jesus is the just one. Only he could become the justifier. Only he could meet the requirement of the just dying for the unjust. This sacrifice was offered so the wages of sin could be paid, and God could justify the offender, the believer in Christ. At the same time, the justice against sin was paid by the death of Jesus the Christ. The way of justification is the only way to be made right with God. It is separate and apart from the way of meritorious works such as in the law of Moses. It is open to all who will meet the conditions. It is made possible by the grace of God which has been manifested through the shedding of the blood of Christ. But of what value is there to you, dear listening friend, that God has given this great way of justification if you ignore the Christ that made it possible? All have sinned, and that includes me and you. You cannot be saved in your sins. You must be saved from your sins. And God has provided the way, and that way is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Will you obey him and receive the benefits of his actions on your behalf? Will you repent, Luke 13:3? Confess your faith, Acts 8:37, Romans 10:10? Be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, and Mark 16:16, 1 Peter 3:21, and so many other passages? When one does as God has prescribed, he will be blessed as God has promised. And until one does what God has prescribed, he is in sin, and he cannot be saved in that state. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.